This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. The YWCA of Northwest Indiana, which is located in Gary, has, like all other organizations, had to shut down because of the coronavirus pandemic. But, good news, the YWCA is reopening. In fact, they're reopening today, Monday, June 15th, and getting all the programs also spaced out as well, too. We'll find out more. Let's talk with Karen Jones. She's the Executive Director of the YWCA of Northwest Indiana. And, Karen, thanks for joining us on the program today.
Well, good morning. Thank you, Chris, for having me.
Tell us about the impact that the coronavirus pandemic has seemed to have had on not only the YWCA, but all the programs that are connected with it.
Well, because the YWCA, located in Gary, which is predominantly African-American community, and the coronavirus affected us so gravely, of course, we had to shut down. So being that the programs that we do have, which serve our community, you know, we had Meals on Wheels, all of our aquatic, you know, we have the only pool in Gary, indoor pool in Gary. Mm-hmm. So all of our pools with our after-school programming that we have for our children, the only program that we were able to sustain and keep open was our child care program, which we kept open for our essential service workers in the city of Gary, which we were glad to do. But other than that, we had to shut down because
now,
of that.
What did you folks have to do as far as the facilities are concerned? If you didn't have anything more in there except the daycare center, that's only one portion of that that big facility, I guess.
Right. So the big facility was just left there. And so now that we're so excited that we can reopen, everything had to change. So, of course, with social distancing and with disinfecting and everything, we had to put up the plexiglass. Mm-hmm. We have to put up all the signage, all of the sanitation that's necessary to keep everything going. We have to phase in everything that we are doing. So we're going to gradually phase in opening up our fitness center for social distancing. We're only going to have lap swimming. We're only going to have our we are going to go ahead and open up our summer camp, but we're only going to have so many students in our summer camp. And we're going to wait to start our Meals on Wheels again, our Tundra Grit meals. We're going to wait until July the 6th to start that. So we're gradually phasing everything in to see how everything works and to be sure that everybody, you know, they have to wear their mask. They have to have their temperature checked before they come in. And so we're following all the CDC guidelines that are necessary for our facility to be open.
Now, Karen, have you had to do anything special in trying to be able to get back to the jazzercise classes and the line dancing classes, which are going to resume as well, too, this coming week?
Yes. Well, for us, because we do have a big gymnasium located, so we're able to, you know, have our social distancing. We're able to do that in our gym. So we've had to reschedule some classes and things like that. But other than that, we're able to do that pretty good. So as long as everybody can come in, wear their masks, you know, use the hand sanitizers and things like that, we're going to be pretty good. We do realize that with some of the exercising, you can't keep the mask on all the time, you know, because it's very difficult. But as long as everybody practices social distancing and doing all the other necessary things that are necessary, which have been offered by the CDC, everything should be okay. So far, I think we'll be able to be okay with it.
We're talking with Karen Jones. She's the executive director of the YWCA of Northwest Indiana. It's based in Gary at 150 West 15th Avenue. And Karen, you mentioned about the fact that Meals on Wheels are going to resume in July. What other types of senior programs do you have set up there at the Y that that bring in a lot of senior citizens from the region?
Oh, yes. Let me tell you, our seniors are just, they're wonderful, and they can't wait to get back into the Y.
I imagine.
Right now, We do have line dancing, so that's the one thing we are going to have. We're going to have that every Wednesday from 11 to 1 o'clock. And because we have it in the gym and we can practice social distancing, we are going to go ahead and have our line dancing every Wednesday. That'll start next week also. We also have a bridge club where the seniors, you know, we have our YWCA bridge club, so they play bridge, they play cards. We also have Methodist Hospital who comes in once a month, and they do different workshops with them, talk about all the different, diseases and things, cardiac, heart things, things about diabetes, anything that ails people. We talk about dementia, things like that. We have Purdue Extension, which comes in and talk about nutrition, things like that. But they also have a lot of fun. They watch movies. They play cards. They have swim clubs. So they have a lot of things they do while they also, have their meals. Right now, Meals on Wheels, which is great, they're delivering meals to their homes. So I think that's just great that they're doing that for them. But starting in July, they can all come back and, they can socialize again because I know it gets pretty lonely out there sometimes.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, because seniors have been especially hard hit by the pandemic. Not only are they the most at risk for catching the virus, but they're stuck at home or wherever they happen to be living. And it's not fun to be alone without your friends around or talking to people. So they're probably just raring to come back to the YWCA and meet with folks again and be able to do the things that they were doing on a regular basis before the pandemic hit.
Oh, absolutely. They call us all the time asking, when are you guys going to open? When are you guys going to open? And so that's why we're going to go ahead and do our line dance. So at least they can gradually come back in and do, once a week. And then in July, which is only a couple of weeks from now, they can come back in and, Monday through Friday from 11 to 1 o'clock. We're just going to do 2 hours because usually we have our senior program, which is 4 hours a day, Monday through Friday, from 10 till 2. And during that time, they do all the activities that I had mentioned before. And so now they can come in from 11 to 1 starting July 6th. And they can just, spend that time with each other, but they still have to practice social distancing, wearing their face masks, hand washing, all the other sanitation things that have been approved by the CDC. So it's going to take some getting used to, but I think they're up for the challenge because we got great seniors in our community.
Now, I know you folks have set everything up in great detail and explained everything on the website. Give us the website address, and people can find out more about the programs that are going to reopen on June 15th there at the YWCA.
So it's www.ywcanwi.org. At this time, if you go there, though, we are under reconstruction with our website, so it may take you straight to our national website, but our website should be up in about a week.
That's great. Well, you can always call the YWCA, too, if they're in Northwest Indiana, if you have questions, too, right?
Oh, yeah. You can call us at 219-881-9922, or either you can email me at Karen, which is Karen, at YWCANWI.org. And if you email me, I'll promise to email you back.
Karen Jones is Executive Director of the YWCA of Northwest Indiana. And after the shutdown because of the coronavirus pandemic, they are reopening effective Monday, June 15th.
And we're excited about it, so come on down.
Community Partners is a family service program of Geminis Corporation here in Northwest Indiana, and they are hosting two free fairs coming up that are featuring local social service and community providers in the month of June. Let's find out more about both of these events that will be happening here. Nicholas Neal is the Director of Program Development for Geminis Corporation, and he is overseeing the events. And Nicholas, thank you for joining us on Regionally Speaking.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Chris.
You're welcome. Well, tell us first a little bit more about Community Partners and your relationship with the corporation.
Well, I've been with Geminis for 11 years now. My current role is Director of Program Development for the company. Prior to that, I was Director of Family Services, and prior to that, I was the Program Manager for one of our other programs, which is the Real Fathers Initiative. Our Community Partners program is a grant-funded program through the Lake County, Indiana Department of Child Services. We've had this grant now for a little over 11 years. The goal of this program is to keep families from being removed by the Department of Child Services. We're on the prevention side. So DCS operates with prevention and intervention. So the DCS, as I refer to Department of Child Services, gives us the funds to work with those families who may be at risk to be removed. And removal can come from a number of different ways, whether it's due to physical abuse, emotional abuse. We could be behind on bills, whether it's rent or NIPSCO. There's a number of factors that go into families being removed, and it's not just always about, someone is harming the child physically. So we we try and come in and offer some services that range from that concrete assistance with NIPSCO and rent to some hall-based casework services, whether it's parenting education, budgeting, crisis intervention, help with transportation. Any of those things you can kind of think of, we try and give it to that family so that they don't come in contact with the Department of Child Services and have their lives turned upside down as a result.
I know that your organization is setting up two different and separate community service fairs in the month of June. The first one is coming up on Wednesday, June 24th, and it's going to be at the Avalon Manor in Merrillville. It's called a provider fair. Tell us first what that one's all about and what folks who attend will benefit from.
Okay, so the benefit for that will be different agencies from different professions, support groups and assistance programs that work to keep families healthy and happy together. Some of these programs that will come about include job counseling, parenting classes, advice how to make better use of community services. They'll come in with information to hand out, whether it's literature. Typically, they have some type of swag bag to give away for folks coming in with information to kind of share. And it's really just an informational day. It's open to the community. We typically get a lot of walk-ins, somewhere around 100 to 125 folks to walk through, in addition to the Department of Child Services caseworkers, supervisors, and managers, as well as the Juvenile Probation Department with Judge Stefaniak and his crew as well. So it's really a day of just learning and education. It's from 10 to 2, and it's I wouldn't say it's really quick because you can actually stop and talk and get to know some of these different organizations and then how to be a better partner. Because a lot of times we don't know what's out there until you get out there. So we do this event once or twice a year just to try and keep the information out there, knowledge going, that there are other organizations out here that can help each other and be a better assistance to the families in Lake County.
Have a lot of people been able to benefit, be able to learn something when they come to the provider fair and actually maybe get some clues as to how they can better themselves as well as take care of everybody?
Absolutely. So let's say you're a family and you're coming through and maybe you're looking for an outlet, maybe you're looking for an agency that can provide you some counseling for your child. Maybe you're having a rough period, you have a teenager or so, and you run into an agency who provides those services, and they're able to say, well, how do I pay for this? It could be out of pocket, it could be through your insurance. But this is where you get all that knowledge and things of what you can do, because a lot of times families realize that I didn't know, that this service was available for my kid. There could be different mentoring programs out there. Like Dr. Vernon Smith has an African American Achievers program where it helps the youth, the mentoring that's out of Gary. So you got different things that come up that for different families or folks that they just don't know about. And it's really just great to see the knowledge that's able to be shared as a result of that.
Now we talked about another fair. This one is billed as the Lake County Fun Fair, and it's going to happen on Friday, June 26th. It will happen at the Chateau Banquets, which is in Merrillville. If it has fun involved into it, it must be more than just information, I suppose.
Absolutely, absolutely, Chris. So what happens at this event is we've advertised it to any family in Lake County, and really it's about getting the kids out of the house, especially now with what's going on with COVID. Everyone has had a chance to really get out. But we've done this event each year prior to that. The families come out with the kids. They're able to have something to eat, able to get a free haircut. We still have some tables like we do at the provider fair, but they're very limited to share some information. Or we raffle off household appliances. So we're talking like vacuum cleaners, dishes, things that we come in contact with our families that they kind of need or don't have, microwaves, silverware, cleaning supplies. These are things that over time with our programs that we have learned that families really need, because you don't take the time sometimes to realize that these are things that could really be beneficial or I could use. Toaster ovens. I mean, you name it, there's not a household item that we don't have that can benefit the families. And then for the kids, just a day of fun for them, a few hours of fun. Like I said, with the haircuts, we're not going to do face painting with our precautions for the CDC with COVID, but we are going to have the haircuts, and we got things set up to be socially distanced as well with the provider fair as well as the fun fair. So we're looking forward to a day of that. We'll have a live DJ as well. And so it's going to be a day of fun and just a relaxation. We're going to have car seat inspections outside with the Crown Point Fire Department. So they'll be doing those for us as well. So So kind of excited.
Now, since we mentioned this, of course, in the midst of the pandemic still, Geminis is working very closely to make sure that all of the precautions are taken, and so that people that come there will have fun as well as learn something and still be safe at the same time. Tell us what you all have done in the precautions you set up for both the Provider Fair and for the Lake County Fun Fair.
All right. So with the accordance with the State Department of Health and the CDC, we decided to do the following. So we're going to have your temperature taken at the door. Face covering or mask will be required to enter. We will give those out to everyone as they enter the door. So we have a box of over 4,000 masks to give out, so that won't be a problem. Mm-hmm. We're going to have monitor social distancing as well for the events. For the Provider Fair example, we're going to have wait times to enter because of the limit of the number of attendees inside the building. For our Family Fun Fair, there'll be schedule times to enter as well. So what we're going to be doing, for example, at the Family Fun Night, is we're going to give everybody a color-coded wristband. And you have to register online in order to even get admitted to the fair. And we're going to run them at 45 minutes to an hour time slots. No more than 50 people in at a time. And once those once that time is up, the Chateau, who will have the room spaced out for social distancing as well as how they serve the food, we're going to get the folks out, sanitize, bring in the next group of 50 or so. And that's how we're going to run that attempt. That's how we're going to run that. And then haircuts available on a limited basis, and those aren't necessarily guaranteed. We will do the social distancing and kind of work through that as well. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that we're asking of guests, though, we want them to stay at least 6 feet apart from other people. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue, then throw the tissue in the trash and wash your hands. We ask that they avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. And then, most importantly, if you're feeling ill, you know, please stay home. And those are some of the things that we're asking for of the attendees. But we do have it set up pretty good to where we're going to be in accordance and following every safety measure available.
Once again, the Provider Fair is going to be Wednesday, June 24th. It's from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. and will be held at the Avalon Manor in Merrillville. And the Lake County Fun Fair is coming up a couple days after that on Friday, June 26th. And it'll be at the Chateau Banquets in Merrillville. There are three different times to go in for the Fun Fair, 4 p.m., 5 p.m., and 6 p.m. Nicholas Neal is the Director of Program Development for Geminis Corporation. Thank you for being with us to talk about these great programs coming up. We hope a lot of people that are interested show up and have fun and learn something, too.
All right. Thank you so much, Chris.
This is Originally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. With the restaurants and the stores and communities in general starting to very slowly reopen from the coronavirus pandemic, there have been a lot of questions that have been put out as to how and when the Lake County Public Library is going to be able to open its doors again. Well, for the person that has the answers, well, at least they've thought it out longer than we, many of us have, we have Ingrid Norris. She's the director of the Lake County Public Library with us to talk about the subject. Ingrid, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to talk with you, Chris.
Well, let me just ask the general question for some background here. When the word came out from the governor's office for the stay-at-home orders and things had to shut down, what were the thoughts that you and your colleagues there at the Lake County Public Library have about it all at the time?
Well, you know, all of us, I think, all had to have a few days just to take stock of what actually was happening, but we spent the first few weeks trying to determine how we could redefine library service and just spent time. You know, librarians are very good at research, and we spent a lot of time learning about the virus and trying to determine how would it change library services. So, but our goal was how do we continue to provide service, even if physically our buildings were closed.
What were some of the ideas that you had in the discussions? I guess, of course, at that particular time, you had to have virtual meetings. Couldn't meet in person any longer unless it was maybe like one other person and 6 feet apart. But to be able to get the most number of people together, you had to have more virtual meetings on computer and probably on the telephone as well. What were some of the things that at least the reaction was at the time?
Well, after the first week, we had a group of 10 people that we called our essential staff that met daily, and those meetings could go on 2 or 3 hours as we tried to figure out how are we going to do reference services. So we used our phone system to route those voicemails over to staff members that had cell phones that we purchased, and we started answering reference questions within a few weeks after we closed. And then we spent a lot of time learning how to do curbside service. Mm-hmm. So when we were able to reopen, we only spent a few days before we rolled out curbside service to deliver things that were inside of our building in a very safe way to people outside of the building. We're using curbside for tax forms, for the tax forms are inside the building, but people need to still do their taxes. We are rolling out in the next week where people can send prints to our inside printers and we'll deliver them curbside. So we're just trying to flip the model of library services to what's the safest way to provide service.
Now, I have a copy of the email that you sent out to everybody, everybody who's a patron of the Lake County Public Library that's on the email list.
Right.
And this explains a lot. And I know that this is just a very general overview. And to get more specific, you all created, and I have a copy of that too, what is called the Service Restoration Plan. I'm guessing that this is the piece of paper or several pieces of paper that had to be crafted so that everybody involved in the library will know exactly where things stand, what the procedures, at least initially. Of course, everything is changing, it seems, almost daily, I would suppose, still. And you want to be sure that at least that you're all on the same page. You've got phases down here listed as stay at home, employee access only, limited patron access, and expanded patron access. Will you kind of talk us through how everything was created to come up with this flow in the hopes that you get to that last phase where more people can actually come into the library branches?
Sure. You know, initially probably over 9,000 libraries closed back in March, and librarians are good at collaboration, so we were able to, like the Indiana Library Federation, pull together the librarians in Indiana to talk about what are the best practices, because nobody was given a playbook for this. We all had to create it on the fly. And it doesn't matter whether it's Crown Point to the south of us or Chesterton and Porter County, LaPorte County Public Library, there's some best practices that show up in most plans in really nationwide. When it's phased, you take it slow and you make sure whatever you're doing is not contributing to any spike in cases. You remove the furniture, the seating, so that people are encouraged to come in, accomplish what they need to do in a timely manner, and then leave. We are quarantining our books, because we're still waiting for the research to determine how long the virus remains on library material. So we're erring on the side of being very cautious, and they stay in quarantine for 72 hours before they are checked in. We are limiting the PC use so that we can physically distance people between the person that sits down to use the computer, so they're not close to someone else. Of course, we're doing what every other business is, enhanced disinfecting, to make sure that when one person leaves the computer, we make it safe for the next person to show up and use the computer. The hardest thing I think we have to work on is how do you limit, because right now that we're in stage four, we kind of put our library in that category of museums and other like organizations. So how do you limit to 50% capacity? Mm-hmm. So that's probably the hardest thing. And I'm going to announce it on your radio show that we're going to be opening Merrillville to limited capacity on June 29th, which is 2 weeks from today. So bringing people back in the building, we have to follow OSHA guidelines for a safe workplace, CDC guidelines, World Health Organization. So we want to be part of the solution of slowing the spread of the virus, mm-hmm, in Lake County. No. We don't want to be part of the problem.
Now, let me ask, now that you've mentioned the fact that the Central Library, the Merrillville branch, will open on the 29th, what about the other branches? How do things work with them? Because everybody, comes to their favorite library branch.
Correct.
And every library branch is a little different size and layout from the other. I know some of them, the older branches can tend to have the same kind of configuration, maybe during the period of time when they were built or remodeled, I suppose, for some. But what do you do, you know, to be able to accommodate for all of that? You start out small and you work with the biggest branch in the system, with the Maryville branch. But how about if you get down to, we'll say, Lowell even, or some of the other smaller ones?
Well, what we're doing is starting to take appointments for computers at Maryville, because we think that's a really high priority with unemployment and everything going on, that people need access to the computers. So we're going to start with appointments on June 22nd that they can call in and schedule. After we have kind of run it through all the issues that might come up after the 29th, we'll roll out another set of branches on July 6th. And then there's a couple branches that Highland and Hobart are going to roll out a little bit later because they have staffing issues, or, again, Hobart is an older building and it's a little more complicated to work with them. So everything, if we get all of our safety supplies in and all of our procedures in place, we think it's just going to be rolling out one branch after another, with Highland and Hobart being a little bit delayed because of some issues we have either with a loss of staff or with the building configuration.
Yeah.
So it should be by July 6th, that's our target date, that the other branches, most of the other branches, will start taking computer appointments. And then soon after that, we're going to be letting people in to browse for their own material. And because right now we'll pull the material for people, but we know people want to browse their own.
Now, when you do get to that point that you're allowed to be able to bring in a certain number of patrons within the guidelines that's set forth in the governor's plan, what will folks coming in the door at their particular licensed branch that they like to frequent, what will they find different? Or what are you setting up in every single library branch that is all the same, because you have to be prepared for not only making patrons safe, but employees safe as well?
That's a very good point, Chris, because one of the things is we want to make sure that the library is a safe place for everyone, including those that are over 65 or those that are at extra risk of complications for COVID. With 10% of the deaths in Indiana occurring in Lake County, we are requiring face masks for, well, I call them facial coverings, because they're not the health grade face masks. It's just something to cover your nose and your mouth, which we call them cloth, you know, the face covering. So that's the critical thing, is you will be required, and if you, that's the most important part. We feel that our face coverings are protecting the customers or the library users, but their face masks are protecting us and the other people, because we have, as you know, libraries are heavily used by the elderly. I hate to call it the elderly because I'm in that category, but for people that are at higher risk for COVID. So we want to make it safe for them. There won't be any seating, lounge furniture. It will be a short. They will know that they need to come in, check out their material in a short amount of time. It's going to be, initially we're doing it by appointment, just to get a feel for how many people want to come back into the building. Last year we had 1.1 million visitors to the library, and it's really hard to social distance with 1.1 million visits. So we just have to get a feel for how many people feel safe coming back into the library. And so the toys won't be out for the kids to play with, and we know the kids are having the hardest time with what's going on, because they want life to go back to normal, like we all do. Mm-hmm. But they'll see their favorite librarians with face masks, face coverings. Computer use will be limited to once a day. We may have to restricted even more if we have more demand than we can handle with a limited number of computers. I think that's the basic changes.
Is everybody at the library ready? About as ready as you can be, I suppose?
Maryville, we're just finishing up the last. All of our plexiglass shields have been installed. We are just moving furniture now and making sure that our computer system is ready to handle the new requirements for computer use. We are the staff. We have a 185 staff member currently, so anytime we make a change, we have to train everybody on the new procedures. So as long as we get all of our safety supplies and we have all our procedures in place, I think we're ready to roll it out on schedule. But again, if something happens with the plexiglass shields and we don't get a branch installed, then we have to slow down with them and wait till everything's in place.
Well, Ingrid, thank you very much for all this great information that you passed along to us about the Lake County Public Library. Once again, the Central Branch, as it's often called, the Maryville Branch of the Lake County Public Library System, will open up for visitors on the 29th of June, and then things will follow from that point on. And we hope to have you back on again to keep us updated on how things are happening and the changes if they do happen.
Well, thank you for the invitation, and it's a pleasure to speak with you.
Well, you're more than welcome. Ingrid Norris is the library, the director of the Lake County Public Library, and you're listening to Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be back with you tomorrow.